It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, I might get my notes over here. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday Night Dynamite. It's February 1st, 2023. My God, did that month go fast. I am Don Tony. I hope everybody is having a great night tonight. AEW Dynamite just went off the air. Samoa Joe defeats Darby Allin to regain the TNT Championship. Makes me wonder if AEW had absolutely nobody for Samoa Joe to feud with while Wardlow was on the shelf for about 3 or 4 weeks. You know, Wardlow gets his hair cut, disappears, Darby gets the belt, Wardlow's ready to return, Darby loses the belt. But, hey, I like Wardlow with this hairstyle now. I mean, he just... I don't know. I honestly, you know, when he first came in as a heel and, you know, just the mystique about him, I mean, we've seen some of his indie work. You know, ponytail was all right, but after a while, you, like a bad cartoon, you just wanted to just pick him by the hair and go, just toss him. So he is back. He'll be feuding with Samoa Joe. And, yeah, you know, not a bad episode of Dynamite. Will it pack in the million viewers like it did last week? No. But the show was very good tonight. A lot of fun. You know, the wrestling itself was top-notch. Had some brawling mixed in. And we got a cameo from Jon Moxley's dad. Jon Moxley and Hangman Page opened the show tonight. And Moxley, who doesn't want to come out through the baby face or the heel walkway, you know, he comes out through the crowd, like the Shield. That is his dad, Dan, in the left of your screen. And I'm curious, guys, does Dan kind of remind you of any other wrestler that we have seen in the last several years? Maybe a younger, you know, the wrestler is much younger than his dad. And I'm just being lighthearted here. Anyone out there thinking what I'm thinking? If you are correct in thinking what I'm thinking, I will show you that wrestler on the screen. I did get a little kick out of, you know, AEW calling him Dan Moxley. Yeah, it gave me vibes of 1984. No, wait, 84, yeah. When Hogan defeated the Iron Sheik for the WWF Heavyweight Championship. In fact, we just celebrated that anniversary about a week ago. And that night when they were celebrating, Hulk Hogan's parents were in the back. And if I remember correctly, I think Mean Gene Oakland called them Peter and Ruth Hogan. And their real name is Bolea, obviously. But, yeah, they called Jon Moxley's father today, Dan Moxley. And, yeah, Rando Craig. I know the spelling is off Rando, but you were the first person to say it. Yes, with all due respect, we're not trying to be jerks over here, but he looks like James Ellsworth. Just add the goatee. If I had enough time tonight, I would have photoshopped the goatee on there. They are twins. They are. That's what James. That's what you're going to look like in about 15 years, 20 years, James. And I'm not even saying that it's a bad thing, but you know, actually, if you look at this picture, James Ellsworth has a better looking neck. But then again, nobody sees mine up close. You know, I stay a good distance away from the camera, so if you look at my neck, it's not as fun as what it used to be. You see lines going like this instead of like this. You know you're getting old. So, yeah, so Moxley and Hangman Page open up the show tonight. Moxley was sort of the fan favorite because he was about an hour away from his where he lives, his hometown. And but, you know, Hangman Page getting a lot of cowboy shit chants as well. Even though this was... the trifecta of their feud. It seems like it may not completely be over with, because after the match is over, both sides sharing a bunch of middle fingers, not too thrilled with each other. But the match didn't start officially for about 5 or 6 minutes. Moxley attacks Hangman Page on the rampway, and we don't have a bell, and they're brawling up the rampway, your chairs being used. After about 5-6 minutes, and Moxley busted open a little bit, finally the bell rings and the match starts. And listen, I got to tell you, Moxley doing a little bit more wrestling tonight than you usually see him do. And it was a decent match back and forth. I mean, Paul Turner, it's just, it's ridiculous. There was one point during the match where Moxley and Page were on the apron, and they're teasing, hitting each other with a move, and Moxley's teasing a pile driver on the apron, the edge of the apron, and Page blocks it, and he attempts to hit the dead eye. And this happens like 4 times. So they're outside the ring on the apron for a good minute. And if you look at Paul Turner during this whole minute, it's so ridiculous. I mean, I know WWE referees do this to an extent as well, but he's like, get back in the ring. Get back in the ring. Mox, get back in the ring. And for a whole fucking minute. What's about 1, 2, 3? I mean, yes, obviously they're not going to go against AEW creative, but it's just, the referees just look really ridiculous, especially when the rules are pretty much laxed all the matches. I mean, it is what it is. But, we're used to it now because we know what AEW is with their product. But anyway, Hangman Page ends up picking up Moxley and throws him into the post, and they brawl a little bit further. Page goes for a moonsault to the outside. No water in the pool. Moxley moves out of the way, but Page lands on his feet, so no harm really done. We thought we were going to get maybe a little bit of a tease of a concussion again, because Moxley clotheslined Page pretty high up, almost to his head once again. We had a typical table spot outside the ring with Page hitting Moxley with the pop-up powerbomb. But the end of the match, Page hits Moxley with a tombstone pile driver. That in itself should be enough. No. While Moxley is down, Hangman Page sets up and hits the buckshot lariat. And with the tombstone and with the buckshot lariat, Moxley kicks out at 2. So for some reason, Hangman Page decides he's going to go for the bulldog choke. And Moxley was ready for it. He reversed it into a fruit roll-up and pinned Hangman Page. Yes, he pinned him with a roll-up. And you know what? It actually made sense, because the announcers were playing that, hey, Page wanted to use Moxley's finisher. You better be prepared to counter a counter. And, Moxley was ready for it. But then after the match, Yuta hits the ring. Claudio hits the ring. And Page is pissed off at Moxley. And Moxley's pissed off at Page. So, will we end up seeing a mutual sign of respect, in the next week or two? We will see. But, not a bad show tonight. Not a bad show. Not a bad match. Chaos, I'm doing good. It's just that I want to get this show done as quickly as possible. I'm exhausted. Very, very rough day at the office today. Tomorrow, I'm supposed to be recording my conversation with this person. You might remember we teased it a few weeks ago. There you go. We didn't know exactly when we were going to be doing it. Well, now we know the date. It looks like it's going to be 2/2/23. So Misha Montana, everything, if it goes according to schedule, I will be having a conversation with her tomorrow. It will be recorded in advance. And I have to send it to a certain individual who has to review it and make sure that, maybe I didn't go over the edge and say a few things that I'm not supposed to. But, I think it's going to be good. We're going to talk about her, talking about some of the issues, health-wise, getting in wrestling, maybe adult movies. And we'll talk a little bit about Matt Riddle. I have a few things that, we're definitely going to talk about. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. So right now it's scheduled for tomorrow. We'll see what happens. But, I got a crazy day tomorrow before even that happens. See, you can't have your dessert until you eat your dinner. And for me, my regular job insurance is my dinner. So if I want to have dessert, which is here, then I got to eat my dinner first. So that's how it goes. we see, you know, the Acme Insta feud. You know, Renee Paquette is with the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the bunny, the rabbit, and silly rabbit. Bunny, Jamie Hayter happens to be there too, and the bunny's like, look, you're a fighting champion. How's about you fight me next week in an eliminator match? Hey, bunny, you know, how's about, like, boost your expectations a little bit? How's about you say, hey, let me fight you for the title? And then if Jamie Hayter says, "You, what have you done during it?" Well, then fight me in an eliminator match instead. How's that? So Bunny just offers the eliminator. That's like coming up to me and saying, hey, if I know I could lose and somebody says, hey, I bet you a dollar. I'd be like, yeah, sure, I'll take it. So that match is set up for next week's Dynamite. A couple of interesting matches next week on Dynamite. We see a segment where while we're wrapping up the challenge issued by the bunny to Jamie Hayter, the screen, Renee hears something in her ear and they show a screen and it's Britt Baker entering the building and she's immediately attacked by Toni Storm and Saraya. And they basically do a number on her. And later on in the night, you know, they're in the back and Renee's asking Britt, like, how you doing? And she's like, I'm all right. And here comes Ruby Soho once again. And Ruby, you know, for a second segment in a row, asking Britt Baker how she's doing. We talked about that, I think, a week ago, that Ruby Soho will probably end up in the camp of Britt Baker, which is kind of odd, especially under recent circumstances. I wonder if Jay Cargill gets thrown in this mix some way. I mean, I know I'm reading way too far into it because of the fact that we have more than one page. You know, we have multiple wrestlers with similar names, especially last names. But, you know, I was always confused about Jay Cargill and her entrance now where you hear her voice saying a storm is coming. You know, and I'm like, you know, we got Toni Storm. We had, who is she teaming with that time? Not Shitstorm. I can't. Well, anyway, the point is, you know, a storm is coming. Jade Cargill's here. She's now 50-0. She's the TBS champion. And when you say a storm is coming, it means that something is on the horizon that we're not expecting. And I wonder, because look, the AEW originals versus the outsiders that we've talked about for a few weeks now, that's fine and everything. But the problem is when you look at the AEW originals, it's kind of one-sided as far as talent goes. I mean, not taking anything away from Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter, but, you know, there's Hikaru Shida. Is Hikaru Shida going to be like the Steve Austin from the Alliance time where she doesn't know which side she wants to be on? You know, I don't know, but it's you really, like, put the teams together, it's very, very one-sided. So there's obviously going to have to be, you know, AEW originals teaming up with outsiders. And right now they're teasing Ruby, you know, maybe aligning with Britt Baker. I wonder if Jay Cargill gets thrown in this mix. Just throw an idea out there. But we'll see what happens. The Acclaimed. Oh, we got to see what happens next week. I think Billy Gunn, you know, enjoy the Sizzle Me Daddy-O. It may be over by next week. A lot of you out there feel the same way I do, that this feels like a setup more than anything else. And today it continued once again, the Acclaimed coming out there beating. And I love it because we watched those two guys get their ass handed to them from the House of Black recently. And that is Turbo Floyd and Truth Magnum. As Max Caster called them, Beverly Brothers ripoffs. They do look like the Beverly Brothers. But they beat them in like 2-3 minutes. Not very good, you know, if you see the match. Right after the match, the Guns come out, and they want a title shot. And Max Caster asks the fans, hey, do they deserve a title shot? And the fans say no, so they don't want to give them a title shot. So now they're bickering back and forth, and suddenly Billy Gunn is on the rag once again. And he's like, I've had it. I'm out of here. And he starts walking to the back. And Austin Gunn gets on the mic and says, yeah, why don't you go in the back and drown your sorrows in another pill bottle? Ugh, that's going back to those days. So, you know, hitting a raw nerve. And Billy Gunn enters back in the ring. What did you say? And Billy Gunn's like, you want the match? You got the match next week. The Acclaimed versus the Gun Club, the Guns. And, you know, the Acclaimed looked a little bit baffled, like, Billy, why are you making a match for us? You know, which that's more like heels should react that way. But Billy Gunn makes the match, and a lot of us fear that Billy Gunn may actually turn on the Acclaimed next week. Almost like, what is he going to do, cut the William Regal promo? That, you know, you learned a lesson. If the Acclaimed learned a lesson from Billy Gunn, but maybe not. Maybe not. You know, AEW sometimes is very, very unpredictable. I mean, you remember not too long ago, we thought Jamie Hayter was destined to be a babyface, finally break away from Britt Baker, and then it's like, oh, never mind. And then Daniel Garcia. I'm a pro wrestler. Daniel Garcia breaking away from Jericho's Appreciation. Oh, never mind. And speaking of the Jericho Appreciation Society, to eat up another month, and it'll probably lead to a match between Ricky Starks and Chris Jericho at the next AEW pay-per-view. We find out today that Ricky Starks is complaining that the Jericho Appreciation Society cheated to win last week. So Sammy Guevara and Danny Garcia come up with the Garcia-Guevara gauntlet, or the Guevara-Garcia gauntlet. Ricky Starks has to go through all the members of the JAS. Now, they were a little unclear. I could have sworn that Sammy said that once they get through Daddy Mac and the other Matarazzi, that he would have to get through Ricky Starks, either Garcia or Guevara. So it sounded like it's or. So if that happens, we're only going to get three pinfalls next week. It's a gauntlet match. And if Ricky Starks wins, he gets Jericho. Now, their next pay-per-view is not for another month. So how will they milk those extra 3 weeks? I don't know. Maybe they don't think it's worthy enough for a pay-per-view. We'll see what happens. But, you know, this is just to further, you know, the feud with Ricky Starks. But meanwhile, Ricky Starks is no longer in the title picture, if you notice. Speaking of title picture, Jungle Boy. Oh, Jungle Hook is over. Jungle Boy just, you know, now if I'm Hook, I'd be a little bit pissed off with all due respect. Wow, you fucking selfish prick. Jungle Boy is interviewed, and Jungle Boy says, hey, you know, he's asked, what's next for Jungle Hook? He's like, you know what? You know, I've been there, done that with the tag team stuff. I won titles with tag teams. But this is a new year, and now it's all about me. I'm going to be a champ all by myself. Hook is not in the segment, obviously. But wow, throwing a lot of shit on Hook with that. Now, I know it's not supposed to be that way, but they want to start giving a singles push to Jungle Boy for a championship. A little bit of a mess, if you really think about it. I mean, again, if I'm Hook, I'm like, the fuck? I saved you for a couple of weeks. This is the thanks I get? So anyway, Takeshka beats Brian Cage. You know, I love all the fans that are now taking notice on how good Brian Cage is. The only negative thing about it is it's not equating to wins on AEW television. Elevation, Dark, yeah. Ring of Honor once in a while. But as far as Dynamite and Rampage go, you know, Brian Cage puts up a good fucking fight and he loses in the end. Now, Takeshka, he's probably not going to win next week either because he's got a match next week. What happened was Bryan Danielson defeated Timothy Thatcher tonight. And they're playing off that Bryan Danielson still has a separated shoulder, partial separated shoulder, diagnosed 90 seconds after, you know, I guess you can, you know, I guess you can feel and test it. But anyway, Thatcher, hey, we saw him in NXT. We know how good Thatcher is. Thatcher, you know, being a little bit more sinister, a little bit more methodical, love the storytelling. That every time Bryan Danielson was gaining an advantage, Timothy Thatcher would work on Danielson's shoulder, and that would stop Danielson in his tracks. Towards the end of the match, there's a ref bump, and here comes MJF walking down the rampway, and lo and behold, Takeshka is around ringside wearing a hoodie, attacks MJF, reveals himself, and then he chases MJF to the back. This allows Bryan Danielson to ultimately beat Timothy Thatcher with the high knee, the running knee. And right after the match is over, we go back to the back, and here's MJF and Takeshka still brawling. And they're pulled apart, and Renee just happens to be there. A lot of people just happen to be in the right place at the right time. With Saraya and Tony Storm, they're like, oh, wait till we see the basketball court. So Renee's there, and she's like, oh, Tony Khan just told me next week it's going to be an eliminator match, MJF versus Takeshke. MJF is pissed off. He didn't agree to that. And they're going to have a match next week. Now, would they dare give Takeshke a win over MJF? It's just an eliminator match. Maybe a Bryan Danielson distraction? You know, it's not for a championship, obviously. I don't think so. But, you know, eliminator matches are supposed to mean something. You lose an eliminator match, well, you're not supposed to get a title shot, right? I got to check and see if the Bunny, well, she might have lost some eliminator matches, but someone else may have been the champion at the time. Not sure. But if Takeshka loses next week, as long as MJF is the champion, isn't that supposed to mean he doesn't get any more title shots? I don't know. So, we had a segment that I thought was pretty funny. The Elite are in the Wright State University. If you look in the top left corner, it kind of gives it away. The Wright State University, they're in the gym. You know, and that's not where AEW was tonight. AEW was at the Nutter Center tonight. So the Elite just happened to be in a random gym with basketballs. And obviously somebody's going to shoot a hoop to show off that they could play basketball. And oh golly, they're going to issue a challenge to Top Flight and AR Fox. Oh, gee, I wonder who's going to win that one. But lo and behold, while they're in the fucking gym, these guys show up. They just so happen to be at Wright State University as well. I don't know, maybe there was an autograph signing. But they issue a challenge. Hey, you're not doing nothing this week. How's about Rampage? You give us a title shot. So the Elite's first two title defenses are against people that, with all due respect, are not even in contention. So this Friday on Rampage, we're getting Ethan Page, Matt Hardy, and Isaiah Cassidy against the Elite for the Trios titles. Next week on Dynamite, we'll have AR Fox and Top Flight taking on the Elite for the tag titles. So, we get, oh, by the way, yeah, there you go. Brian Pillman, we had to replace Sami Zayn. He's no longer an Uso. He's no longer Sami Uso. By the way, there's a new shirt on sale, and it's great. It's literally the same shirt he had before as Sami Uso, and they just put a piece of tape over Uso, and it says Zayn. I'm like, whoever came up with that, that's just, like, brilliant. That's, like, my thumbnail for this week. I'm not kidding. That's what my thumbnail for this week is. I'm like, hey, I'll just take the Vengeance Day banner, the thumbnail, and I'll just add the word predictions to it. Oh, that it's nights like this that you love, because you're literally, because sometimes, you know, when you try to, like Reservoir Dogs that I did for the Royal Rumble, I got so many emails from people like, dude, that's fucking, that's perfect. The way, it just, even the way you spell dogs, because my dog, Reservoir Dogs, if you don't know the movie Reservoir Dogs and the meaning behind it, go look it up. But it's things like that, that your mind races, you're like, hey, I got to come up with something creative, like the love connection. You know, with Vince McMahon, I told you that he was going to end up paying millions to Rita Marie. We were talking about that last year, and I did the Love Connection, you know, spoof. So, you know, you try to think of very creative things. But in a case like that, it's like, wow, all you do is you just put a tape over the Uso, and you're like, hey, I got a brand new top-selling shirt. It's good, man. It's good. Oh, speaking of Brian Pillman, that's why I mentioned it. Swerve Strickland. Keith Lee, we have no idea what's going on with Keith Lee. I mean, yeah, the cinder block to the tummy, but Swerve Strickland, he went through Dustin. Nothing really happened there. I want to start messing with another second-generation wrestler. So Rampage Friday, we get Swerve Strickland versus Brian Pillman Jr., who we have not seen in a very, very long time. We also find out that next week on Dynamite, Roosh will be taking on Bryan Danielson. And this was a funny segment because they're in the back and MJF shows up with a briefcase. And MJF, you know, he looks at Rush. Rush is like, what do you want, Pedro? And MJF is like, you know, look, my Spanish is mid. But he opens up a briefcase and there's a whole bunch of Amazon 100s in it. Amazon $100 bills. And he's like, if you beat Bryan Danielson, if you rip his arm off and feed it to him, there's five more of these suitcases where you come from. So Rush is just looking like, me no speak English. Me no understand what you say. So MJF tells his manager, hey, dipshit, translate. So he translates to Rush. And Rush is looking at MJF and he's like, Tostinos. And then his manager says, he accepts. You got a deal. And MJF is like, he said a lot more than that shit. It's like, the fuck was that? And then MJF walks off and calls him a pedo, which was, it was a funny segment. So, pedo. Jade Cargill beats Red Velvet to get her 50th win. And after the match is over, she grabs her daughter and walks to the back. Daughter, very, very shy. And, you know, nice moment. I mean, Jade Cargill is coming along nicely. You know, I know a lot of people are, you know, starting to criticize her title run. I mean, you know, there's 45 titles in AEW. Just don't focus on her reign that much. You know, sure, if you go back to 1998, you know, or whatever it was when Goldberg first came in, you know, if he would add a championship, you know, five matches after beating Hugh Morris, probably would have been kind of dumb. But, you know, once he started showing and the crowd was just insanely behind him and all he had to do was three moves to get out of there, yeah, then you put the United States title on him or something like that. I think people are just looking for shit to start, you know. And by the way, I might as well throw this out to you right now. Let's just get this out of the way. Because believe it or not, places are... Did you see the clickbait that's starting to float around? Not only about Ricky Starks, but about Cody Rhodes. I'm seeing these same assholes that fucked with everyone about all these other fake news that turned out to be false. Now they're saying that... Now they're using the streets. That's the new term. That the streets are angry that Cody won the Royal Rumble. And it's bullshit, everyone. They're just trying to get people to click on their articles. And let me also tell you this, too. There is absolutely no heat whatsoever for Ricky Starks showing up at the Royal Rumble. He was there to support his, I don't want to say his best friend, but one of his best friends, Cody Rhodes. Ricky Starks told AEW that he wanted to be there, and they trust him. There is no heat whatsoever. So despite websites reporting that Ricky Starks has heat for being shown on camera, Ricky Starks had a great comeback, though. He went on social media, and he said, damn, they brought back GTV. Like, wow, they got a picture of me walking with Cody. They brought back GTV. Yeah, they did. There you go. There's your logo, Ricky. There you go, GTV. It actually would be a good GTV movie. Imagine if GTV was still around and they did that. It actually would be pretty interesting if they showed that on the screen. That would be the was it Rory McAllister on Impact that time? That probably would have been the McAllister moment. But, yeah, there's no truth to the rumors that Ricky Starks got heat right now. Bullshit. It's bullshit. So, after that, we get some announcements for matches this week. Now, besides the ones that I mentioned, Saraya and Toni Storm will be in action this Friday. Good. You know, Saraya feels that, you know, it's been close to a month. If you remember, she was planning on averaging one match a month. But obviously their opponents on Friday, you know, it's not going to be anybody significant, with all due respect. Rush will be taking on Rush will be taking on Christopher Daniels this Friday. And then next Wednesday, it'll be Rush once again taking on Bryan Danielson, which sounds very interesting. And then we got, you know, the other matches I mentioned earlier. And in the main event tonight, Samoa Joe regaining the TNT championship off of Darby Allin. And again, if you look at the timing, you know, I guess they just felt they had no opponents for why they all of a sudden feel that the TNT championship needs to be defended every week almost. You wonder if there was a request, and I'm not kidding when I say this. I wonder if there was a request. This is not news. This is just an opinion. I wonder if TNT or Warner Media requested that, you know, one of the Turner titles, the TNT, you know, like the TNT or the TV, is defended more on a weekly basis. Because suddenly Darby Allin was facing someone every single week. And Wardlow was on the shelf for a short period of time. And they took the belt off of Darby. I mean, took the belt off of Samoa Joe and gave it to Darby. You know, and if you remember, Samoa Joe annihilated Darby like a month earlier. So it just really came out of nowhere. When you think about it, there was no rematch. But Darby got the championship while Wardlow was out. And now Wardlow is ready to return. And then Samoa Joe gets the championship right back. Samoa Joe's still a Ring of Honor champion. So you almost feel like they wanted to go from Samoa Joe to Wardlow. And unfortunately, Wardlow got injured, so they went from Samoa Joe to Darby Allin temporarily. But the match tonight was brutal. You know, it was no holds barred, even though they did a lot inside the ring, but they went up the rampway and won. I mean, basically Samoa Joe was just tossing Darby Allin. And look, Samoa Joe is not careless. It looks careless on TV, but when Samoa Joe just picks up Darby and just dumps him, it just looks like he's not even looking. You know, he's just like, wherever he lands, he lands. But it looked brutal, man. Landing on the steps, landing on the chairs opposite. They're not facing, the seats are not facing each other at first. They're opposites. You got the tops of the chairs just waiting for Darby's spine to just crack it in half. And then, you know, there was another point where Darby Allin is chopping Samoa Joe in the corner. And Samoa Joe just picks up Darby Allin, throws him over the top rope. And, you know, if you look closely, I mean, Darby landed on his feet and fell down. But, you know, if he landed a little bit closer to the ring, he could have landed chin first right on the edge of the apron. So it was brutal. I mean, Samoa Joe was tossing him around like a salad. But, you know, we had two things that stood out for me. First off was this. Now, if you look closely, Darby has a vest on or a shirt on with thumbtacks all glued to the shirt with the points facing outward. Now, that is cool. That is cool. I'm not saying that it's not. But that is a disaster waiting to happen. Why? My friends, look at this shirt and pretend you have the shirt on right now and you have 200 thumbtacks glued to the outside of your shirt with the points sticking out. What happens when you take your shirt off and you pull it inside out? It's almost like barbed wire. The points are going to get stuck to everything. So towards the end of the match, Darby Allin is supposed to put on the shirt and do a coffin drop onto Samoa Joe. And he's trying to pull the sleeves out and everything. And all the thumbtacks are basically saying, you dumb fuck. You stupid motherfucker. You turned me inside out. All them all like all tied up and everything. So he's struggling. He finally gets like one arm pulled out and he does the coffin drop anyway. But if you notice, when Samoa Joe put the shirt over Darby Allin's face, the thumbtacks were sticking outward. So, you know, it looked great. It was a great visual, but the thumbtacks really weren't in Darby Allin's face. So visual is, it's all about the visual. But that was funny when Darby was struggling, trying to pull out the shirt. I'm like, what did you think was going to happen when all the points started grabbing all the material? So then Darby Allin decides he's going to expose the boards that are on the mat. He's going to pull the mats out and expose the wood. I think, what was it, Moxley and Kenny Omega, right? That was the match where they exposed all the wood in the ring. That match that went on to like 1:30 in the morning. that you saw people on social media that were like, I feel very uncomfortable right now. So I think that was the match. But Darby decides he's going to cut all the ropes, the ties that are tying down the apron. And, you know, it's taking a little bit longer. And he's struggling because the corner ones are the strongest ones, and he's cutting and cutting and cutting. He finally breaks part of it through. And I think he even gave the apron the middle finger at the end because he realized that it was taking a little bit longer. But Darby, I don't know what Darby was looking to set up, but as you will see, the wood is exposed, the pads are pulled out. Why referee Bryce almost seemed to look like he was helping him at some point? Yeah, I know we have time constraints, but ref, you're supposed to be like, you know, I know it's no holds barred, but what are you doing? That's a little bit too much. So anyway, Darby climbs the rope, and whatever he was going to do to Samoa Joe, Samoa Joe's like, nah, I don't think so. Samoa Joe just picks him up. There you go. Come on, do it fast. Muscle buster. Boom. Right on the wood. And pins him. 1, 2, 3. Before you could even soak it in, and it's 9:59 p.m., music hits. Oh, look, it's Wardlow. And Wardlow comes out there. Samoa Joe goes out of Dodge. For some reason, there's two random guys. I guess they were left over from the 20 security guard on one match from many, many months ago. One of the worst matches in the history of AEW, period. But Wardlow is just taking people out, throwing them over the top rope, and Samoa Joe looks concerned. So that was your episode of AEW Dynamite tonight. Wow, we got through it pretty fast. You know, if I really put my mind to it, we can get through shit a little bit quicker. It was a fun episode. I enjoyed it very much. It flowed very, very nicely. Didn't have too much of one thing, and it didn't have, you know, really, really dumb segments. I mean, the basketball thing was funny. Because it's just like random people, like, just happened to be there, which was kind of comical. You know, I could see if they were in the arena or in the back and then somebody shows up, but they just happened to be at a high school gym or a college gym, like 20 minutes away from the arena. So speaking of AEW, I actually wanted to open with this tonight, and I totally forgot. We got major, major news, and this is not sarcasm. This is something we have wanted for a while, and this is bigger than you think. And I know what your immediate reaction is going to be, that Ring of Honor, you know, what they were going to do may have some ties to this. Now, the funny thing is, we were joking about it briefly on Patreon last night, that, you know, Tony Khan promised an update in January about what, you know, Ring of Honor and the future tapings. Yesterday was the last day of January. So I had joked like, okay, Wednesday night Dynamite's coming. I said, we're going to have to address, you know, that Tony Khan never, you know, January came and went and there was none. Now, there is no update as far as Ring of Honor, but I think this may tie into it. This may tie into it. Check this out. This is pretty fucking cool. Now, I'll show you the banner first, and then I'll read you the press release. Check this out. AEW House Rules. This is not a pay-per-view. Saturday, March 18th will be the first one. It'll be in Troy, Ohio. Now, they're calling it an AEW House Rules Tour. Now, there is a little bit extra to this that no one is reporting that I actually got from someone that I trust today, and I'll share with you the little added extra that I got, but I want to first read you a few lines from the press release that AEW put out, and just to summarize it, they're going to be doing house shows. That is a big deal, but it's for select markets, and I will tell you what I found out in a moment. AEW announced today that they are happy to announce the launch of AEW House Rules, a live event series taking place on select weekends in markets across the country. Continuing the promotion's meteoric rise and following the success of AEW Dynamite on Wednesdays on TBS and AEW Rampage on Fridays on TNT, fans can expect an up-close and personal experience at local venues, along with a spectacular and engaging environment. Now, I want to stop there for a second. Their first venue seats about 4,000 to 5,000 fans. So when they say up close and intimate, that's another definition for smaller buildings. AEW is very, very smart in doing that. You don't ever want to turn away a fan. But let me tell you something. You'd rather book a 4,000-seat arena or a 2,000-seat arena, sell it out, and have people turn away than have a 10,000-seat arena and only draw 3,000-4,000 from it. So I like the idea very, very much that they're going to use small venues. If they announce venues that only seat 2,000 people, that is not AEW on the decline. That is smart. That is smart, especially in the beginning when I get to something else. They go on to say, these non-televised live events will showcase an electrifying mix of matchups featuring the stars of AEW. Each event offers more immersive experience for fans, including customized merchandise, unique ways to engage with featured talent, and in-show interactions different from what is featured on AEW programming. Think of TNA with their house show, intermission, autographs, photo opportunities. That's what they're talking about. Having an AEW shirt that'll say Ohio on it, or maybe it's even more regionalized for the area that they're in. That's what they're talking about when they bring this up. So just to give you a little bit extra. Continuing. The first AEW House Rules show will take place on Saturday, March 18th in Troy, Ohio at the Hobart Arena and will feature Ohio's own Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Dr. Britt Baker, Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy, and more. Tickets for all AEW House Show Rules shows start at $20 plus fees, can be purchased at AEWTix.com starting Friday, February 3rd at 10 a.m. And then just to wrap this up, Tony Khan, you know, just basically with a couple of quotes, is a lifelong wrestling fan who grew up attending house shows. You know, he is a next step in our journey, giving fans a new level of access, top-tier pro wrestling, and it goes on and on and on. Let's give Jeff Jarrett a little bit of this as well. You know, Jeff Jarrett was very, very important with TNA Impact and their house show tours. Difference is Tony Khan is telling them, get smaller buildings. So Jeff Jarrett is very much responsible for some of this legwork behind the scenes, everybody. So Jeff Jarrett, you got to give him some credit for this. You got to give him credit for this. But a little extra that I want to share with you. Hang on. There we go. They use the term selective markets. They're basically going to go to the areas where they have drawn big. Chicago, Ohio, probably New York. You know, they will go some other areas as well. But here's another thing. This first tour, this is all they have lined up right now. This is a trial run. It's going to lead to more. I can almost guarantee it. It's going to lead to more because even if you draw 2,000, you know, when you add the fan experience, autographs, photo opportunities, merchandise, and you give some wrestlers an opportunity that they're not getting on television, notice the absence of the Ring of Honor mentions. None. Zero. So this is where you got to tape a Ring of Honor match here and there. You know, changing the apron for a match or two is not a big deal. So I think this will lead to some Ring of Honor matches being taped. I mean, you just advertised Claudio. Claudio's Ring of Honor heavyweight champion. You mean to tell me that he's not going to wrestle as the Ring of Honor champion? He's just going to wrestle as eight? No. No. But this is a trial run. They're going to see how this goes. You know, if it goes well, if it goes how they expect it to go, then you will see more of them done. Just understand something, and I know this is going to sound kind of goofy, but it is common sense that a lot of people don't think about when we talk about topics like this. You know, buildings, you can't just call them up and say, hey, do you have anything going on next week or in 2 weeks, 3 weeks? You know, these have to be reserved in advance. And they didn't just ink the deal for Ohio this week or last week. This is something that has been building and developing. So you negotiate with different states, different venues. You see what's available, what's not available. And not only that, you have to understand, too, you have to look at the logistics of where AEW is going to be that week in a particular area. Yeah, I mean, wrestlers can go from point A to point B. Look at, I hate to use this as a segue, look at Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Jay Briscoe was laid to rest. This weekend, they had the funeral services for him. And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were a few of many who went to the funeral service. As soon as the Royal Rumble was over, they hopped on a plane and flew to Delaware so they can be at the funeral for Jay Briscoe. So, you know, you can travel from point A to point B on a very, very short notice. But, you know, you have AEW does not have the luxury of having all these extra people to put rings together, take them away. You're not just sending 15, 20 wrestlers to do an event in a particular state. You know, you have to set up the arena. You have to set, you're not going to pay the arena and say, okay, you do this and you do that and you bring this. No, there is a lot involved. So this is going to be a trial run for a period of time to see how it goes. You're probably going to have some bumps in the road in the beginning, but they do have people behind the scenes who have done this before. Jeff Jarrett leading the way, you know, that is a huge plus. So this is a good thing. This is a good thing. It's not a wrestling boom, Austin, but this is a very good thing. And since we just mentioned Jay Briscoe, he was laid to rest over the weekend. A lot of local papers, TV, covered it. About 1,400 people showed up for the funeral services. This is just some of the photos that I was able to get. Just the lines just went on and on and on. And, you know, Jay Lethal, that is Roderick Strong. They rang a 10-bell salute. Caprice Coleman, you know, pretty much, you know, moderating it, I guess you could call that. Mark Briscoe with a touching tribute, family members, community. It was beautiful. The video is available on YouTube if you want to watch it. It is sad, it is depressing, but it is also uplifting. And you get to understand more how deep this family was with community. And you know, it's, I'm not saying this to be dramatic. It bothers me a lot that 98% of the websites out there never turned around and, you know, showed any sympathy for the Turnahan family as well. Everybody immediately, you know, she was the devil, she was evil, she caused the crash, she died, without even knowing any details behind it. And Jermaine Pugh's own family told people, if you want to send flowers, instead of sending flowers, send a donation to the kids who lost their mother as well. I wanted to show this to you. This is what you see all over Delaware. Pray for the Pugh family and the Turnahan family. You know, the community has come together. Both families have lost someone. No finger pointing. I mean, obviously there's some details that have not come out yet, but that community, man, I wish some people would learn something from that. And again, it's just a shame. I mean, seeing the horrible stuff that's been online, and shame on all of those websites and podcasters that just immediately, you know, either blame that person or ignore them and showed hate. Now, if some came out that she was texting or drinking or something, then she definitely deserves criticism. But I know it's cliche, but isn't there something like in the Bible that you turn the other cheek? You know, you don't do unto others as they do unto you. That's kind of mine, though. I have to admit, that's in my Bible. I do unto others like they do unto me. I just do it 10 times worse. You want to be a dick towards me? I'll be a dick and then some back. You be good to me, and I will be your best friend. So that's my Bible. But, you know, so they were laid to rest. and I mean both of them, and just an absolute horrible tragedy. I did not get my Jay Briscoe. Oh, look, just speaking of that, look at that. And I didn't even think about it. Look, Roderick Strong is on my shirt tonight. I just felt like wearing some Undisputed Elite. Had Adam Cole on the brain today. So, yeah, Undisputed Elite. He should be at the top if you really think about it. Yeah, eye for an eye. You know, two other things I wanted to tell you. I did not know this. When they were covering the funeral of Jay Briscoe, we found out that Jay Briscoe was the assistant coach for the Laurel Middle School football team, which his son played on. He was also an assistant coach for one of their basketball teams in the community. And Jay Briscoe's wife worked as the school secretary. I did not know that. Did not know that. I found that out over the weekend in reading some of the articles. So they were very, very tight-knit on their community. So, yeah, rest in peace. Rest in peace. So we're going to start bringing this home. Obviously, if you saw the synopsis for tonight, you know, we got NXT Vengeance Day coming up this weekend. And it's a solid call. I'm going to give you some quick predictions. Also, a little bit of a medical update. Nikita Lyons posted this photo, and she posted this message saying that surgery was a success. Thank you deeply to the WWE Universe, my Lion Pride, for all the love and support you show. I'll be back stronger than I've ever been. Also, a big thank you to the wonderful surgeons, doctors, and nurses. Torn ACL, torn meniscus. She will be out of action, I would say, 6 months minimum, give or take a little bit. I think at least 6 months. Especially, I mean, I know we were kind of being lighthearted last week about it, but, you know, some of those kickboxing and her kicking her feet in the air, I think you got to be a little more careful in the future. Or you got to really, like, avoid that in the beginning, you know, and you gradually work your way back to that. So, you know, somebody showed me a picture the other day. Look, this person played baseball way before even my time. But if you ever heard of a pitcher named Juan Marichal, if Nikita Lyons was ever a baseball player, she'd be Juan Marichal. Just look at how you would pitch, and you'll know why I'm saying that. It's just look at the pitcher, and you'll see why. So, all right, couple other tidbits before we get into NXT. Kota Ibushi is now a free agent. He is officially gone from New Japan Pro Wrestling. And that's a pretty big deal. His contract ended as of January 31st, and New Japan issued a little press release. Tony Khan actually made a comment as well. New Japan says, and this is kind of funny, they said, with the conclusion of his contract, we apologize to Ibushi's fans for the abrupt announcement and join him in wishing Kota Ibushi the very best in his future endeavors. And they said as of January 31st, he's departed for New Japan. He's been out with injury since October 2021. But of course it's an abrupt announcement. You can't announce his departure until he's actually departed. So he departed January 31st. They made the announcement February 1st. So of course it was going to be abrupt. You're not going to tease the fans for another month or two. Kota Ibushi's no longer with New Japan. Now, I know any of you out there that are fans of New Japan Pro Wrestling, I know you're immediately thinking of this. You're thinking of the Golden Lovers reuniting. And let's keep this in perspective, everyone. A majority of wrestling fans out there, American wrestling fans, non-Japanese wrestling fans, won't care very much about this duo being a team. But let me tell you something. Kenny Omega's friendship with Kota Ibushi goes back 15 years. They have held gold. They have had battles. Kota Ibushi is one of Kenny Omega's closest friends. Tony Khan issued a comment today about Kota Ibushi now being a free agent. And he said, you know, when you have a name talent like that, everyone in the world of pro wrestling would be very fortunate to have someone like that in their promotion. We wanted to work with him in the past, so it's definitely something we would have to consider. Now, the first part of Tony Khan's segment, well, his statement is designed so when they do bring in Kota Ibushi, it's basically saying, like, look, any promotion out there would love to have the opportunity. We got him. And we got him. So that's why he said the first part of it. But Kota Ibushi showing up in AEW, yeah, it's going to happen. And he is definitely a great talent. He's had a lot of injuries in the last 2 years. So right now he's not 100%. I think he told people recently that he's 90%. I mean, that means that he's on the verge of a return. But, you know, right now he's a free agent. And they have him advertised for Josh Barnett's Bloodsport on March 30th. And he's going to be wrestling for Joey Janela's Spring Break 7 on March 31st. And GCW, you know, is going to heavily use him as well. So pay attention to those matches. If you're a fan of his work, pay attention to his matches. Because if he looks good, and you know there's going to people be online, even if the match is shit, they're going to be like, oh, it's epic, amazing, it's unbelievable, I was shaking, I could, you know, look at it with your own eyes and you be the judge. If he looks good, not, I'm not just talking about knocking off ring rust, that happens, but if he looks like he can go, yeah, he's going to appear in AEW. That's a lock. That is a lock. Yes, yes, for everybody saying in the chat room, every time I hear Golden Lovers, I think of something else, you know, whatever. But they are really good as a team. Go online. In fact, they faced each other, if I remember. That's when Cody was still working in New Japan. So, all right, NXT. Two things I want to get into. One thing I didn't want to make public because I purposely keep things like this quiet because we've done a lot of things in the past for others because we wanted to, and we don't do it for name recognition. But I know there's a lot of you out there that were concerned about this story and definitely wanted some news about it, and this is a beautiful thing. For anybody that knows what I'm talking about, I'm very happy to announce that Amari Miller did get what she was supposed to get. And she got a whole boatload of fan mail as well. And she is doing better. She is happy. And we wish her nothing but the best because mental health is something not to fuck around with, especially, you know, when it hits home. And, you know, everybody knows, look, here's a little something. Here's a little something that I don't like to show on this show. But, you know, even my wife, now you would think like even just a woman, maybe just jealousy to see it. But even my wife understands why I do it. I keep this on my desk. It's never left my desk since Daphne passed. And, you know, I had the privilege of being a good friend of Daphne's for over 20 years, and it was devastating. That plate will always stay up there. And when I see people that I know in wrestling or outside of wrestling deal with depression, you know, that's why if you look at my social media footprint right now, I don't go after nobody. I don't take jabs at anybody. I don't say anything nasty anymore. Because you never, I know this sounds cliche, you never know on the opposite side of the screen what's going on in that person's head. And even if I have enough ammo and enough darts and bullets to really go after someone and expose and this and that, you know, social media might be the one thing that brightens up somebody's day more than anything else. And like, if you put someone over the edge, nah, I don't want that on my conscience. So I just prefer to just enjoy, be happy, try to spread a little bit of happiness. And I don't want to say anything more, but I got a message from her. And she seems to be in a really good place right now. And especially after what transpired only, 3 weeks ago, you know, just keep fighting. And that goes out to any of you out there. I mean, there's so many forms of depression. It could be a bad relationship. It could be health. It could be the loss of a loved one, financial, loss of a pet. It could be, you know, just being not having a relationship, getting over a bad relationship. Let me tell you something. I don't know how deep the convo's going to go tomorrow. And I swear to you, other than just the dates that Misha had her stroke and heart surgery and all this other stuff, other than having the dates in front of me, I'm prepared with no notes. And I already told her, I said, listen, let's just go into another conversation. Wherever it goes, it goes. But one thing I will say is this. You know, I know it's not that big of a deal, but it is. When you see this tweet from Matt Riddle, where he says, I've been working a lot on myself lately and I've been saying no and setting boundaries for the first time ever and certain people aren't happy about it, but I couldn't be healthier and happier. You know, that is a big deal. That is a big deal. And, you know, when that pisses people off, you know that you're not the problem, that someone else is the problem. And let me, you know, this day and age, you hear about all people that you would never expect be down and depressed and have an issue. So I don't ever take it for granted. But I just wanted to let some of you know who really were asking. She did get it, so which was cool. I found out. So, all right. Before we get out of here, let's get into NXT Vengeance Day. Now, yesterday for NXT, and by the way, the rating went down a little bit. 587. Last week it was 607. I think WWE cannot wait to bring Braun Breaker to the main roster. I think they have to start the feud with him and Carmelo Hayes next week. I'm serious. Next week. As soon as next week, they may have to start that feud with Carmelo Hayes. Because Braun Breaker, I've nothing but respect for the guy, and he's definitely going to be a major, major star. But right now, they're very, even the feud with Grayson Waller, and they have done a great job with him and Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller has turned it up to a different level. And I would love to see him have a match with Cody. Shit, I'm going to throw an idea out there right now. Cody Rhodes should show up on NXT and have a match with Grayson Waller. It's a warm-up match. Cody revealed yesterday that Carmelo Hayes was training with him and sparring with him to help him return. Why not have a warm-up match? Put him on NXT. Challenge Grayson Waller. Have a match. What is so wrong with that? It's not a demotion. It's a tune-up. So, just an idea. Just an idea. But anyway, so yesterday as NXT, really one match had the most ramifications, but a tag team has aligned. I love it. I love it. I'm going to show you in a minute. In this year over the Creed brothers, Zoe Stark over Indy Hartwell, Dijak over Von Wagner. Von Wagner and Robert Stone, I think, are pretty much going to be done. If you remember, they were going to split them up before Von Wagner goes to the main roster. Tyler Bate over Axiom. Stevie Turner made her debut for NXT and beat Danny Palmer. Drew Gulak over Charlie Dempsey. And the main event, Duke Hudson and Andre Chase beat the Dyad, Idris Inofi, and Malik Blade. So they get the final spot in the Fatal 4-Way for the NXT Tag Titles at Vengeance Day. So that match had implications for Vengeance Day. Now, Vengeance Day, I think, is a very predictable show. I mean, we're not going to have to spend a lot of time on it. But let's get into the matches. Six matches. Solid. Solid. Absolutely a solid night of wrestling this Saturday. Oh, and by the way, we are not doing a recap Saturday night right after NXT Vengeance Day. Instead, it will be part of Sunday's sit-down. February 5th, this Sunday at 8.05 p.m. We will spend about maybe 20 minutes talking about NXT Vengeance Day, and then the rest of the show will be the sit-down. So that's when we will cover NXT Vengeance Day. The Don Tony Show Saturday morning, 11.05 a.m., that is still on normal schedule. So, all right, let's do predictions for NXT Vengeance Day. Six matches announced. First match, Dijak trying to take away the NXT North American Championship from Wes Lee. I personally think, yeah, it is time for Wes Lee to drop that title. He won the championship. Since then, I don't know how I feel about his reign. I think it's probably gone as good as it possibly can. Could Wesley be main roster bound? It's possible. I personally think him and Ricochet would be an awesome tag team, especially if Nash Carter is not going to return in 2023. Dijak went back to NXT. A little bit odd, you know, to see who he faces. You know, we know what the character is, but he pretty much will just face anybody. So I think he takes the title from Wesley. I think Dijak is going to finally get a championship. And that's not a demotion for Wesley, but now we're approaching WrestleMania. And, you know, anything could happen. And would he go to the main roster? I think Wesley is ready for the main roster. Remember, you don't bring people in NXT to keep them in NXT. The goal is to promote them to the main roster. So Wesley could very, very well end up going to that main roster. So I'm going with Dijak to take the title off of Wesley. Next, for the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships, Katana Chance and Kaden Carter, they defend the titles. And listen, this odd pairing, you know, you think of with Fallon James and everything that's been going on, the fighting for the saloon and all this other stuff. It's an odd tag team. But, you know, we just talked about Kiana James, I think, yesterday. I think she's a future star in the main roster, but not yet. Because if she goes to the, even Indy Hartwell, I saw this ridiculous article today that fans in droves are pleading for Triple H to bring Indy Hartwell to the main roster. And then what? You regulate her back to Dexter Lumis segments? They've already been married. They already had the kiss before he got arrested. Like, what are you going to do? All over again? Let's remarry? It's not going to feel the same. Indy Hartwell is not going to suddenly overtake a lot of the women that are on the main roster right now. She's going to end up being an enhancement talent. I don't want Indy Hartwell to be on the main roster to be a goof. So I think Kaden Carter and Katana Chance are going to retain. The reason why I think they are going to retain is because we have a new tag team that is formed. We talked about this tag team. We've talked about it before. We kind of saw the writing on the wall when Isla Dawn and Alba Fire were having this crazy feud. And a lot of us were like, you know what? They actually be a pretty interesting tag team. And lo and behold, they are now a tag team. I think that is your next NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. Alba Fire, I don't think, is ready for the main roster either. But you put Isla Dawn and Alba Fire together. Yeah, I think Kaden Carter and Katana Chance are just going to keep those belts warm until WrestleMania weekend, and I think your next tag champs are going to be Isla Dawn and Alba Fire. Fire and Dawn. Nah, that doesn't sound right. I have to come up with a good name. But yeah, so Carter and Chance are going to retain those tag titles on Saturday. Next, talk to me. Carmelo Hayes versus Apollo Crews, 2 out of 3 falls. Look, Apollo Crews loses nothing if he loses. Carmelo Hayes going into WrestleMania weekend has to build momentum. Carmelo Hayes has it. WWE knows they got one of their biggest stars just sitting in NXT right now and getting better. And better and better. And don't discount Trick Williams. I've clicked. Trick Williams has clicked with me. I have totally bought into Trick Williams. That guy in the future on the main roster, I don't even know or who to compare him with. But he would be like a Miz annoying. But the guy, the physique, the look, the in-ring work, Trick Williams is going to be a player, man. But Carmelo Hayes, he's got to get this win on Apollo Crews. He's got to go for Bron Breakker's championship WrestleMania weekend. In my opinion, he's got to beat Bron Breakker WrestleMania weekend. Carmelo Hayes needs this win, and I think he gets it. I think Carmelo Hayes will get the first fall. Apollo Crews will get the second, and then the deciding fall will be Carmelo Hayes. Maybe something happens with Trick Williams where he's forced to go to the back, or maybe somebody chasing him back. I don't know. But Carmelo Hayes got to get this win. I'm telling you. 3 years from now, I'm really, really, really curious to see where he and Trick Williams are in the food chain on the main roster. So Carmelo Hayes is going to get this win. All right, next. There you go. For the NXT Tag Team Championships, we got Gallus. We got Chase University. We got Pretty Deadly. And then we have your Tag Team Champions, The New Day, NXT Tag Team Champions. I have said this for about a month. I have not changed my view on it. I think it remains the same. The Dyad not being in a tag team title match right now tells me the New Day are going to drop the NXT Tag Team Championships to the Dyad. And it might happen at Stand and Deliver. I think the Dyad, remember, they were the Grizzled Young Veterans. And I never bought into the Grizzled Young Veterans, if you remember. But there's no denying, they were always considered one of the top teams in NXT. Their feud with Imperium is what started making me change my views on the Grizzled Young Veterans. That match they had that time. So I think the New Day retain here. And I think this is to set up a future match with the Dyad and the New Day. New Day is going to retain. New Day will retain and go into WrestleMania weekend with those NXT Tag Team Championships. For the NXT Women's Championship, Roxanne Perez defends the title versus JC Jane and Gigi Dolin in a three-way dance, a triple threat. And I think there is, you could probably bet the house on this one. There ain't no way Roxanne Perez is dropping this title this quickly. They're going to tease early on that Toxic Attraction are working in sync with each other. They will double team Roxanne Perez, and then we will get that moment where one member of Toxic Attraction will go to pin Roxanne Perez, and the other member of Toxic Attraction will break up the pin. And then the opposite will happen, and then that'll lead to JC Jane and Gigi Dolin going at it, brawling with each other, you know, getting, you know, pretty, you know, hot and heavy in the ring, laying down, throwing punches. And in the end, Roxanne Perez is going to get this victory. Who knows? You know, you could end up having one member of Toxic Attraction laying out the other, and Roxanne Perez steals a win. Personally, I think Roxanne Perez should pin both. I think both of them should get knocked out. Even if they knock each other out, I'd have Roxanne Perez lay Toxic Attraction on top of each other and pin them both. Because you don't want to see, you know, JC Jane pinned, and then she is the one who got the loss, you know, for the three-way match. But Roxanne Perez is going to win. She's going to win. It's not even a question. Even if she doesn't pin them both, Roxanne Perez is not dropping that championship anytime soon. And I think also, someone else is going to come out. Someone else is going to have to come out. And you know what? That's probably to shift away from Toxic Attraction fighting each other in this match. Someone could very well show up right after this match is over, get into it with Roxanne Perez, and that kind of moves away with Toxic Attraction as far as what happened in the ring. So the main event, Bron Breakker defending the NXT Heavyweight Championship against Grayson Waller. Look, my view on this match has not changed as far as outcome goes, but they have really done a great job, you know, with the suspension of disbelief that these two guys don't like each other. They had segments shown in the performance center, in the arena. Grayson Waller, you know, just taking things a little bit more seriously. Sure, he has the Grayson Waller effect and he's goofy and everything, but the guy has turned it up to another level. And a lot of people feel that he's main roster ready as well. But in my opinion, you do not have Grayson Waller go into WrestleMania weekend as your heavyweight champion. Bron Breakker has been the leader. He's been the cornerstone of NXT for the last year and a half. even when Dolph Ziggler was there for a little while. Dolph getting that championship was to further the storyline and to sell that Bron Breakker was a little naive still. And that's why Dolph got that title, but Bron regained the title and Bron has more experience now. So that, in the end, helped Bron. Bron Breakker will go into WrestleMania weekend as a heavyweight champion. Grayson Waller taking it to the next level. I hope WWE considers having him versus Cody Rhodes, even if it ends, you know, with a clean pin. Grayson Waller is not going to lose a damn thing if he gets pinned by Cody Rhodes. So maybe we'll get that next week or the week after for NXT. I think it'd be pretty cool. I think it would be pretty cool. Maybe Grayson Waller issues the challenge on next Tuesday's NXT, and maybe Cody accepts, and it's set for the following week. We'll see. But Bron Breakker will retain the championship against Grayson Waller. I tell you, when you look at that card, there isn't a bad match on the card. I mean, the four-way tag match is going to have a lot of comedy in it, but some of those guys could really go. And Kofi and Xavier are future Hall of Famers. I mean, we know what they can do. And they're not demoted right now. It just, this is something for them to do. They're helping elevate some other names. You know, it's allowing casual fans to take a little bit more notice, even though they don't tune into Tuesday nights. You know, it's not enough of a pull-in to get somebody to watch. But, you know, it's going to be a good event. Vengeance Day is going to be good. You know, they're in Charlotte. You know, they're not in Florida. So they are going to be touring. So you know that shit's going to be turned up an extra notch on Saturday. But for everyone that's going to tune in, I hope you enjoy it. I will cover it Sunday night on the sit-down, and we'll see how the predictions go. We've been kind of running the table on predictions lately, so which is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. But, you know, once that's done, we start focusing on the road to WrestleMania. I mean, you have some events on the main roster and NXT that, you know, happened before Mania, but you really start getting the clearer picture. And look at the last 3 days about WrestleMania. A lot of websites have out there like 8 or 9 matches already that are more than likely could all happen. And honestly, every single match looks awesome. I mean, I even think Seth Rollins and Logan Paul is going to be even better than what Logan Paul and Roman Reigns was. You know, I think it's going to be even better because Seth, in my opinion, Seth's a better wrestler than Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns is a better all-around performer as an entertainer. It's they're different in a lot of ways. But, you know, it's going to be good. I mean, I'm really looking forward to what's coming up, not just on WWE, but AEW as well. So there's good shit going on right now. Definitely good shit. So without further ado, before I go, I want to just give a super shout-out to Mr. Rojo Bear. Rojo Bear, I think you won a prize this weekend. It's unofficial until I go on the community section on YouTube, but I'm pretty certain you won it. So, you know, I don't want to build your hopes up, you know, but I think it was your name. I got to double check it, but if it did, you got a 50 spot coming your way. He's going to Dynamite next week. So, hey, you'll have some spending money to go buy something at Dynamite. Do they still have CM Punk ice cream bars? I still got all these wrappers. I don't know if I should give them away or throw them on eBay or just store them somewhere. I mean, you think I'm kidding? Look, 1, 2, 3, and there's other ones buried. That, yeah, I got a lot of stuff on here. If I keep showing it, people are going to be like, oh, you don't have the Daphne picture because you pay tribute. You just have it because you didn't clean your fucking desk. Now, my desk is actually not messed up. By the way, check this out. I got to show it to you before I go. I can't put it up, but I know where the person got it, and I'm going to get a different version of it. I told people to give me ideas of what I could put on the wall behind me, and somebody sent me a couple of posters that are really, really cool, and I'm going to put up one in a Midnight Express with Jim Cornette down the line. Not now, but I said I want something with Dusty Rhodes, but I want something a little bit different to put on the wall behind me. And somebody sends me this. if you look at it, it looks like a pair of dice, doesn't it? It looks like a pair of fives, but it's supposed to be Dusty Rhodes' polka dots. I, with all due respect to that person, I appreciate the gesture, but to me, it looks like a pair of dice more than anything else. But yeah, I can't put that on the wall. So, but I want to thank Mike for that one. So he sent me a couple of cool things. You know what he sent me too? That we'll do a giveaway soon. Autographed Dominic Mysterio card. And I went on eBay just out of curiosity to see how much it goes for. Motherfucker goes for $89. It's like limited to like 50. He sent me an autographed card of Dominic Mysterio to give out on the shows. So that'll be a giveaway in the future. But for now, it is time for me to exit. How long do we go? Wow. All right. We went 80 minutes. You know, a little longer than I thought. I said about an hour, so we went a little over, but it's all good. So if you enjoyed this episode, you know what to do. And you want to join me Saturday, I will be here 11:05 a.m. By the way, yesterday I did post your next installment of This Week in Wrestling History. It is over at DonTony.com if you want to go download that. And 4 hours, 4 hours long. That was a great episode too. The Vince McMahon XFL press conference from 2001 or 2002, whichever year it was, that's priceless. And we're not talking about the press conference when they announced the XFL. We're talking about the press conference that happened after the first night of the XFL. And some of the questions were pretty funny. You know, somebody asked him like, there was a lack of celebration in the end zone. And, you know, Vince is like, if they did that, you would have said it was the WWF. And then if they didn't do that. So it was, Vince was pretty, you know, nasty in this press conference. And it's funny, Jesse Ventura is there. And Jesse throwing out some great comments back, you know, with the media. But the reason why I'm telling you about it is also, and I'm not throwing shade on wrestling media. I swear I'm not throwing shade on wrestling media. But, yes, the XFL was football. It was not wrestling. But if you do check out the history episode, listen closely to the media's questions, how they present themselves, how professional they sound. And then check out the media scrums for AEW or even the press conferences at WWE. I mean, again, no shade intended for some of the media journalists there. Not all of them fit this category. But, you know, you just realize that, you know, that's all I'm saying. So we'll talk about Tom Brady on Sunday for the sit down. Tonight it's about AEW and NXT. So I'm out of here, everyone. Much love as always. And hope to catch you all again this weekend. I think we'll have a fun episode Saturday morning. I definitely have a few things to get into. And some of it does have to do with Cody Rhodes. Didn't want to get into it today, but definitely an interesting conversation coming. So be well, everybody. Much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.